Okay, so also just begin with a little more introduction about myself. I've been practicing Vipassana insight meditation since 1990. It's been a little while, and I had the extreme honor of being invited to start teaching with the Sangha in 2016. And it's been such a joy and also an honor for me to get to do that and connect with this amazing community. That really means a lot to me to be with you tonight. I, in my other parts of life, I'm a professor of sociology, and I've been doing that for a really long time. In fact, I learned how to meditate at the same time that I learned that I started taking sociology classes. So those are two streams that have really come together for me in life and intersect in some really amazing and interesting ways. And I have a beautiful family, a husband, and three children. The oldest is graduating college in just a few weeks. So tonight I'd like to talk about deepening our practice through life's challenges. So, in many ways, deepening our practice involves working directly with life's challenges. Our modern society offers us innumerable escapes, especially in the form of entertainment and consumption. It also stokes our deepest fears. Bad news and fear-mongering grabs our attention and sells. So we live pretty challenged lives, especially in this modern society, and the practice can really get deepened through our challenges, through working with our challenges, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. In the extremes, by avoiding suffering or living our lives in fear or in reaction to the fear, only increases our suffering. And perhaps you've seen that at play in your own lives. Let's just take a moment to reflect on the ways in which you've either avoided suffering or you live in fear, or living in fear has increased suffering in your own life. Just take a moment to reflect on the avoidance of suffering or the living in fear and how that may have increased suffering in your own lives. So, how may we deepen our practice through attending to life's challenges? Tonight, I'll talk about six Buddhist teachings. I'm going to talk about them sort of separately, but they all really interconnect. And I think you'll see ways as I talk about these, how they interconnect so deeply. But the six Buddhist teachings I'm going to touch on tonight are mindfulness, no self, life is enough, meaning there's nothing to fix, impermanence, interconnection, and compassion. So the first one, mindfulness. How may we deepen our practice with mindfulness through life's challenges? The mind focuses on problems and acts like a runaway train. Many of you notice this. Where we experience, these moments where we don't even understand why we're feeling anxious, why we're thinking the thoughts that we're thinking. The other night, I had a really delightful day. It was the first day that I had connected with the folks in my department and all these graduate students who are who are graduating. We had a gathering at Thorpe Park, and it was such a joyful experience. I had 3 hours of just like experiencing the most amazing connections with people and having this almost like this elated feeling of connection and joy as we got to connect in person after being away from each other for a whole year. But I woke up in the middle of the night and my mind went instantly to the one sour experience of the day. And it just wanted to fixate on that. So I was really grateful for the mindfulness practice, right? I just brought mindfulness to the experience and I could just see what was happening. I could just see how my mind, I started getting really curious about it, you know, like what is, how interesting that the mind would just like laser target this one moment compared to like all the amazing joy, all the incredible stuff that had happened that day, this one kind of like not so great feeling that I had in the day. It was such a passing moment, but that's where my mind instantly went. And I just brought mindfulness to it. And it was amazing that like just that process of getting curious about that experience created this space. And the mind was still going on its ride, but I wasn't. I was free from it in a way. It was very liberating. And I could just sort of like just watch it with a little, almost a little bit of humor and feel it as it passed. And so, you know, if everything went just smoothly and maybe I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just think about all the wonderful things that had happened in that day, maybe I would have more easily gotten like lost in those stories. But the mindfulness brought about this curiosity about the challenge. Like all of a sudden I was challenged, and bringing mindfulness to the challenge just like deepened that mindfulness practice in the middle of the night. The second Buddhist teaching that I want to talk about tonight is around no self. And, you know, each of these can be a year's worth of Dharma talks, right? But I'm just taking these little teach these important, not little teachings, like big teachings, and kind of just focusing them in on this like life challenge. How does these challenges deepen our practice? Well, challenges can deepen our practice into an understanding and deepening process of, in Buddhism, what's called no self. So we don't create a sense of self around our thoughts, realizing like you are not your inner dialogue. So when we're having challenges, we might, you know, especially around that inner dialogue, and you might be saying some pretty rough stuff to yourselves, you might notice that. You could start to like develop some space between the inner dialogue and who you really are. Like one of the ways of doing this is saying, who is thinking these thoughts? There's an awareness, right, that notices the thoughts. And so when you start bringing attention and bringing that curiosity into the awareness itself, who is it? What is this that notices these thoughts? You can get really into connecting with awareness itself. Like there's the thoughts and there's the awareness of the thoughts. Which one am I? Am I the thoughts that come and go? Or am I the awareness that can see these thoughts? What happens when I get curious about this awareness? What does it feel like? What does awareness feel like? What is its characteristics? What are its qualities? Our practice starts deepening. You can also look at the space between thoughts, or the space between breaths. And these offer you a glimpse into what some have called your true nature or Buddha nature. And so we can get lost in our inner dialogue, right? But we could also use it as an opportunity to deepen our practice. Say, who notices or what notices this inner dialogue? We start to see there's no solid self to be found. Start looking for that self. You won't, I don't know, you may not be able to find it. If you do, let me know. I've never met anybody who's actually found a solid self when they look real carefully, you say, where is this? What is this? And you quiet down. That inner dialogue starts to quiet down. The practice deepens. A third teaching in Buddhism. I like to call it life is enough. Like, just think about that for a moment. Could it be possible that life is enough? You might feel self-conscious, like you're missing something. Or you may feel hard on yourself for not being as skillful as you could have been. I do that a lot. Or you feel like you have to prove something, or like you're not enough. If you take that feeling, that uncomfortable feeling, this is not enough, I'm not enough, I didn't do this skillfully, and you apply Buddhist practice to this. In Buddhism, there is nothing to fix. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. Life is enough. It just is as it is. Whereas Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen monk, has said, I have arrived. Some of you may be familiar with Thich Nhat Hanh and his gathas. These little kind of sayings to help you remember that life is enough, that you are here right now, you have arrived. There is nowhere to go. There's nothing to achieve. You are already incredible. Really, truly, truly amazing. And so when you're feeling these kind of like the sense that you are not enough or you're missing something, something's not right, you can try this little gatha. I'll say it slowly. You might meditate upon it. Breathing in, I have arrived. Breathing out, I am home. In the here, in the now, I am solid. I am free. In the ultimate, I dwell. So sometimes I do this, just the first line, breathing in, I have arrived. Breathing out, I am home. Again, as we realize we have arrived, this in the here and the now, this is the moment. There is no other moment. This is the one. We have no place to go. This is the time. This is the moment. This is the most incredible moment that you're living right now, that we can deepen our practice. And sometimes that gets spurred on when we're in our deepest challenges. This beautiful poem called Nothing to Do by Ganden Rinpoche that I like to share with you. Happiness cannot be found through great effort and willpower, but it is already present in open relaxation and letting go. Don't strain yourself. There is nothing to do or undo. Whatever momentarily arises in the body-mind has no real importance at all, has little reality whatsoever. Why identify with and become attached to it, passing judgment upon it and ourselves? Far better to simply let the entire game happen on its own, springing up and falling back like waves, without changing or manipulating anything, and notice how everything vanishes and reappears magically again and again, time without end. Only our searching for happiness prevents us from seeing it. It's like a vivid rainbow, which you pursue without ever catching, or a dog chasing its own tail. Although peace and happiness do not exist as an actual thing or place, it is always available and accompanies you every instant. Don't believe in the reality of good and bad experiences. They are like today's ephemeral weather, like rainbows in the sky. Wanting to grasp the ungraspable, you exhaust yourself in vain. As soon as you open and relax this tight fist of grasping, infinite space is there, open, inviting, and comfortable. Make use of this spaciousness, this freedom, and natural ease. Don't search any further. Don't go into the tangled jungle looking for the great awakened elephant who is already resting quietly at home in front of your hearth. Nothing to do or undo, nothing to force, nothing to want, and nothing missing. Imaho, marvelous. Everything happening by itself. The fourth Buddhist teaching, impermanence. So some of our challenges arise around fear of loss, fear of loss of health, loss of loved ones, loss of youth, loss of life. And understanding that the root of most of our fears lies in this loss and impermanence. So in Buddhism, there's a practice that some do on a daily basis called meditating on the five remembrances. And I find this incredibly useful. It's a great practice to wake up and do. Helps us work with this impermanence and the challenges that we face around impermanence. So the five remembrances are: all beings are of the nature to age. There is no way to avoid aging. All beings are of the nature to experience illness. There is no way to avoid experiencing all illness. All beings are of the nature to die. There is no way to avoid death. All that we love and all that we hold dear is of the nature to change. There is no way to avoid being separated from them. Our actions are the ground upon which we stand. There is no way to avoid the consequences of our actions. So what we do is we begin to get comfortable with the things that make us most afraid and most comfortable. It's like you hear about those practices of monks who sit in the charnel grounds or in cemeteries and sit with death and their scariest fears. This is a practice in getting comfortable with our deepest fears and the roots of those, which are lay in impermanence. And so as we notice these fears, we can deepen our practice through deepening our practices with getting comfortable with impermanence. And the loss of a sense of self can create great suffering. Sometimes in the practice, some of you may have experienced this moment, these moments of like where you grip and you're like, you feel like you're maybe falling into a void, you're afraid. Because often there's like, we've heard, you may have heard like these mini deaths or even like feel a death of the self. We lose our sense of self and we want to grab onto it. We want to get this, keep this sense of self. And by grasping on, we really create more suffering. I think it was Jack Kornfield who said that when we grasp onto anything, it's like we create, it's like creating rope burn, trying to grab onto a rope, but all you get is rope burn. And so we can cultivate what has been called don't know mind. There's a book called The Five Invitations, Discovering What Death Can Teach Us About Fully Living by Frank Ostasevsky and Rachel Raymond. And they recount a story that Jack Kornfield shares about a Buddhist teacher named Hob, who, after being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, continued to give Dharma talks. And I'd like to share a little bit from that book. This is a story that really sticks with me and comes up in all kinds of ways when I need to remember, like, that the practice is really about riding the waves of impermanence. It's really about being here in the moment, and that there is no moment that is forever. All moments come and all moments go. So I'll share this quote from the book. One evening, however, he found himself standing. Okay, yes. Okay, this is re referring to Hob, and so he's offering a Dharma talk, but he has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. One evening, however, he found himself standing before a meditation group, having forgotten who he was and why he was there. So he simply began to mindfully acknowledge out loud his experiences: blank mind, curiosity, nervousness, calming, blank mind, loving feelings, warmer, less trembling, still uncertainty. And so on for several minutes. It was all he could do. He stopped, resting quietly, and bowed to the audience. They stood up and applauded in honor of his presence and his courage. It was, as several said, among the finest teachings I have ever received. For a moment, Hobbes had transformed even Alzheimer's into freedom. Hobbes' illness had made him confused. He lost certain cognitive capacities, but in that moment he found a place of repose in consciousness. Thanks in no small part to the decades of training in mindfulness meditation, he could rest comfortably in don't know mind. He didn't actually have to know who he was, where he was, or what he was doing in order to sit back in awareness and observe the emotions and experiences at play. So just again, noticing the challenges and finding something within the practice that helps you take the practice to the next level. That the challenge, Thich Nhat Hanh might have called it a bell of mindfulness. The challenge invites us deeper into the practice. The fifth Buddhist teaching I want to talk about is interconnectedness. Think this comes into play, especially when we're feeling very lonely. We can recognize that when we're feeling lonely, it's like an invitation to say, how am I not alone? We can start to recognize that we're never alone. Through Buddhist practices, we come to understand and directly experience how intimately interconnected everything is. We are never alone. And we can also practice self-compassion. Kristen Neff, who does a lot of research and talk on self-compassion, talks about recognizing our common humanity, that we're all so intimately interconnected and that we're all going through very similar experiences at the same time. So sometimes I've shared this example where during my third pregnancy, when I was in labor with my youngest daughter, I was experiencing so much pain, and I just started to remember Kristen Neff's practices around self-compassion. And I realized, like, okay, so how can I connect with others in this moment of pain? Where is the common humanity? And I suddenly realized, wow, in this moment of such extreme pain, there's also thousands of other women around the world going through in labor at that moment, and we are all connected in this moment, in this experience. And that really somehow it shifted things for me, just to realize I wasn't alone in that experience. And of course, you know, I had incredible support around me. I had midwives, I had my amazing husband. But sometimes that's not enough. And you feel like you need to connect with others who are going through a similar experience as you in that moment. And that is true, that's happening. Yet we may feel a sense of loss and again suffering when we lose some of our deepest connections, right? So we can remember, like, okay, we're not alone. We have deep, deep connections. We're interconnected, but then we lose some of our deepest connections. We might feel a rift with a dear friend, or those nearest and dearest to us pass away. And the practice teaches us to be present, even with our most challenging losses, even with the sense of loneliness, missing, longing, and heartache. The key, of course, is not to try to eradicate the difficult feeling as a goal of the practice. And this is where our practice must get very subtle. Through the practice, a certain amount of faith develops. We see the hardest emotions are not solid. They're impermanent and they don't last forever. They do shift. And we can remind ourselves, this too shall pass. But we must be present with them, compassionately attending to them and not bypassing these difficult emotions. And so this is where, you know, interconnection and impermanence really interconnect, coincide together. Okay, finally, I want to talk about a sixth and last for tonight Buddhist teaching that can really get deepened as we experience challenges in life, and that is cultivating compassion for ourselves and others. Bringing your presence to another's suffering, that's compassion, or to our own suffering. Like, compassion is being with ourselves in our suffering, not abandoning ourselves, being with another person in their suffering, and then doing whatever we can to help alleviate suffering. Buddhists, I've heard of suffering as called a quivering of the heart in the face of suffering. We're being present for another or ourselves in the challenging experience. And Thich Nhat Hanh says, you know, one way of practicing compassion is to imagine that our difficult, challenging emotion is like a crying baby. And you wouldn't move away, right, from the crying baby. You move toward the baby You hold that crying baby. And we can take that same approach within ourselves or with others. We wouldn't abandon the baby. We don't abandon ourselves or others. We can't always pick another up and hold them like a baby, but we can create the space. That's what it is about. We're giving compassion. We're taking the time and the presence, and this ends up creating, you know, calmness, peace, tranquility, and easing of the suffering. So, with that, I'd like to guide us in a little meditation to look at these six teachings in mindfulness, no self, life is enough, impermanence, interconnection, compassion. And then just briefly do some guided meditation on that and then lead us into some silence. And we'll practice for about 25 minutes total. So if you want to just take a moment before we do that to stretch and reposition yourselves, feel free to either turn off of your camera or turn away from the camera if you like. Okay. Enter your body. Feel your legs upon your floor or your chair. Notice your hands, your back, your stomach. Notice any tension in your body on the in-breath. Notice any tension on the out-breath. Release that tension, relaxing your muscles. Noticing your breath. And call up an experience of a challenging time in the last few months. Remember this experience and try to bring it vividly to mind. Just consider, how did you draw on one of these six Buddhist teachings? Or how might you now call one of the six teachings into your experience to help alleviate suffering? I'll remind you of the teachings, and you can just sort of take a moment to consider how these teachings might help you work with a challenging experience that you may have had recently. Mindfulness. No self. The awareness that notices what's happening. Recognizing that life is enough, there is nothing to fix. We're riding the waves of impermanence. This too shall pass. Recognizing the interconnection, reminding yourself, I'm not alone. And compassion or self-compassion. Being present with your experience. Being a good friend to yourself. Not abandoning the experience, but being with it, gentle, kind, present. Let yourself just sit with that for a moment. Seeing how some of these Buddhist practices might help you alleviate some of your suffering. Calling to mind one or two. Considering how may I deepen? How may I use this hard experience to help me deepen one or two of these Buddhist teachings? Not getting lost in the story. And when you feel ready, also letting that go, bringing attention to the breath as an anchor into this moment. We have arrived here and now. There is no other moment. This is it.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.